Welcome to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this spirit-filled message, that it blesses your week and brings you joy and perspective. To connect with us, hop on social media, and for more information, head to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Fizzy water. Anything could happen, let me tell you. This is a setup. I tell you, this is an absolute setup. What is the box? Ignore the box. I told Kimmy that it was a cat coffin. No. And half the church left. There are some days that are really big. Like, lots happen. But we need to understand that God is bigger than our biggest day that we have. Yeah. God is bigger than the biggest day you're having right now. Yeah. He's bigger than your biggest year, and He wants to, we're singing tonight, expand us. I am so flipping proud of this church. Yeah. I am so proud of you all. It just came to me again in the meeting. We had so many, when Heather and I took over the church, which was 3 years ago, we had these prophetic words. It just kept coming and coming. At 3 years, God's going to blow the lid off the place. So welcome to the third year. Seriously, well done. And if you're new around here, if you've been here 6 months or 1 month or 1 week, it doesn't really matter. Get ready, because He's going to blow the lid off this place. And whatever that means, I don't have all the answers, but I tell you, He is going to work on things, work with us, through us, for His glory. Listen, that Promised Land song, oh my goodness. I was in tears. I mean, I'm a bit teary today. I don't care. That's the pastor you got. I couldn't have, and I'm not just saying this because I don't need to suck up to Jesse Rose. I couldn't have written a more perfect, I can't even put it in words. I couldn't have expressed more what was in Heather and my heart than that song expresses for this year. You know, God is so overwhelming if we'll let Him overwhelm us. We just have to stop. And sometimes we just have to get overwhelmed by His magnificence. And I'm sorry if it's awkward for you, but I'm not sad, I'm happy. This is my happy expression. This is the joy of the Lord. You've got your joy, I've got mine. Live with it. Promised Land. If you go into the Promised Land, guess what has to happen? You have to separate yourself from the desert. You have to forget desert living and go into the Promised Land of milk and honey. You have to forget lack of water. You have to realize it's the Promised Land. What separated the children of Israel from all the other tribes and all the other nations around them? It was the fact that God was with them, led them by a pillar of fire and a cloud, fed them, watered them, and brought them into the Promised Land. That's what separated them from the rest of the tribes around them. That's what separates us, is that God is leading us. But what's even more amazing is they had to leave that. They had to separate themselves from that which they'd known of God and go into their Promised Land without the fire, without the cloud, without the provision. They had to start getting the food for themselves. Uh-oh, he's going to talk about hard work. No, I'm not. But what separated them was that they left the desert and they moved into the Promised Land. Listen, when you know who you are, it is so much more easy to realize who you are not. You can look at it and go, I'm no longer that person. we were singing tonight, you know, when I recognize I come alive in this river, I realize I don't have to go and swim back in that sewer that I used to call a river. It separates us from that to this. We were called, he called us out of the kingdom of darkness into his great light. When you make a highway, you quit the low way. We're not orphans anymore. But you have to leave the orphanage and get adopted. And that's what's happened. There's a separation comes. Tonight, there are people in here. You're still in the orphanage. It's not a condemnation. That's not a word of nastiness or whatever you want to say. The truth is, God is saying, come out of the orphanage, here's a family. Come out of the orphanage, you're adopted. Come out of where you were to where you should be. I am your father, Luke. If we base our belief on the Old Testament alone, then Isaiah is a voice that speaks loudly and authoritatively from the pages of the book. Isaiah 59, 1 to 2 says, memorable words, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that you cannot hear. That is a gloomy old scripture. But of course, we're New Testament believers, so we need to understand what the New Covenant says. What does it say? John writes in his gospel, this is the John who was leaning on Jesus' breast. This is the John who records himself as Jesus' beloved. Jesus' own words referring to himself, his death on the cross. John 12, 32, it says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And here we witness the beginning of Jesus sorting out the problem of sin and the problem of separation from God through relationship with him to the Father. Yeah. That word, draw all men, it actually can mean draw or drag. But he was using it as draw, to woo, to speak kindly to speak comforting words to love on. Yeah. And you know, we've been used to religion that drags us. Yeah. Drags us along behind it, saying, here's another rule. Here's another obligation. You know, I couldn't help this picture. It might be really seriously politically incorrect. Someone said, I hope so. I saw that thought bubble. But I just kept this picture of a caveman. You know, the archetypal caveman who grabs his woman by the hair and drags her off to the cave? With his club. Gives a new meaning to the word clubbing. But you see, we're modern men and women. We charm and we woo and we pout on Instagram. I don't, but we use our spirituality to impress the opposite sex. We use money to seal the deal. You know, I left flowers on the seat of Heather's car when I was, I can't think of the word, it's not courting because that's so old-fashioned, dating, thank you. And when I was dating Heather, I left flowers on the seat of a car. I wrote her poetry because I wanted not only to get her attention, but to keep her attention. And this is the God, this is the Jesus that comes to us tonight and says, I'm going to draw you. I've got your attention, but I want to keep your attention. Didn't we sing this morning, it's so easy to fall in love, or it's so easy, there's that line anyway. You know the one in the song? Everyone's looking a bit blank, I think. Yeah, thank you. It's easy to fall in love, but saying love isn't hard or something like that. But see, Jesus never said, I will drag all men unto me. He said, I will draw them. And that literally means in the Greek to appeal to the divine resident, that appeal to the divine that is resident in man. There is something in God of us, in us that is drawn by Jesus. He doesn't just draw us with his love, he draws us up with his love. and he reignites a flame that was long extinguished in us. See, religion leaves you on the outside looking in. Jesus draws me, embraces me, ignites me, and empowers me. But what happened between Isaiah 59 and John 12? Jesus happened and made the difference. See, what you do tonight with a God whose plan for you, for your redemption, is the death of his son on a cross. What do you do with that? What will you do tonight with Jesus, whose dying thoughts were of you? Dan Rayner, his dying thoughts on the cross were of you. What are we going to do with that? I could go around the room and waste a lot of time, but I won't. What are you going to do with that? The Jesus that lived his life to expose the religion that kept his father at a distance. The Jesus that gave his life to lay bare the deception of sin. The Jesus who raised to life was raised to life so that you and I would no longer be separate from the Father but joined to him through his death and resurrection. This Jesus who bridged the divide makes a way for us to be in relationship with our Father today, tomorrow, and for all the tomorrows to come. That's what he did at Calvary. Nothing less. What else happened between Isaiah 59 and John 12? Love was let loose on the earth. Something that was lost is found in us again. When I encountered Jesus, something went whoomph in my life. We used to have, in England, in the day when I was born, we used to have what they call Burko boilers. Burko boilers were these contraptions, these big things on the wall, and it's the only way you got hot water. It wasn't any of this fancy solar hot water stuff. It was a gas thing and a pilot light, and you used to turn it on, and we would stand back from ours because you'd turn it on and go, poof, and it would ignite because there was a pilot light. There is something in us, there's something in man that gets ignited by the Spirit of God because they are aware that there is something divine in them that God is calling out of them. Called out of darkness into his great light. Let's talk about love. See, I'm old-fashioned. I still believe that love has a way of finding you. And I won't share the analogy, but my mum was a great singer, but I can always remember her singing around the house an awful lot, and we used to help her change the songs, and I related this before. But she used to sing Some Enchanted Evening. You may see a stranger across a crowded room. And I sort of grew up thinking, wow, one day I'm going to meet a stranger across a crowded room. Actually, it did sort of happen like that. Because I was a good boy and I went to church. And there was Heather on the stage. She'd just come back from a trip to South Africa. And she caught my eye and I caught her eye. And you know when you get that little bit of a, you're sort of standing there, you're supposed to be worshipping. But the person, and you're sort of like. I still believe there's nothing more attractive to the opposite sex than following hard after Jesus. Living your life clean and being a person of your word. There's nothing better, nothing hotter than a person who's on fire with Jesus. I moved to Australia in 1985. I attended a church. And one enchanted morning, 2 weeks in, I look across and there's this girl. And we looked across the room and like I say, our eyes locked. I didn't know she was the one I was going to marry. So I do believe in that. Some people have told me that. Maybe she did me, I don't know. But I was like, I'm super interested. I'm super keen. But something miraculous can happen when you pursue someone. Not stalking, that's weird. not picking on someone and relentlessly bombarding them with texts and unwanted chocolates. But there's nothing like being chased in a very nice way, not weird. See, Jesus chases us down. Jesus chased you down. He chased me down. And you know what happened when he did? It said to me, I've got value. I've got value. You know, when someone loves you and they pursue you, you end up feeling, wow, I'm not weird to everyone. I'm not ugly to everyone. And that's not being pity, but you know what I'm saying? Because we're all strange. You could be the most beautiful person in the world and they think they're ugly. The truth is, Jesus gives us value. And he continues to do that in my life. And then they're prepared to take a risk to love you. Jesus, God took the risk to love us. And then, you know, you get past the, hey, we're going out stage to how can I keep them around stage. You know, when they get to know me, they're really going to go, oh my Lord. But then you realize that they value you, warts and all. They love the you that is you and not the stuff, the bits that are not so great. They sort of overlook and all of those things, and they might try and sort you out a bit. All of a sudden, you're standing at an altar and you're hearing the words, will you, Frederick Callum Porter, forsaking all others, separation, take Anna Joy Gooden to be your lawful wedded wife. And what you're saying in that moment is, I choose you now and I choose you for all the tomorrows. And I believe as a church, God is saying, choose me tonight. Choose me. I'm choosing you. Choose me. Separation is a huge subject in the Bible. Separation from things and separation to things. My first point, the gentle art of persuasion. There are times in life, and I did it then, when I find myself in need of persuasion. I don't have what it takes to get over that bump. I get bogged in sand. But Jesus comes along and he persuades me, you need to get out of there. I could just actually feast off that for a week, very honestly, because I want to be a man that's persuaded. You want to be a woman, a man or a woman that's persuaded. We need to be persuaded by the Holy Spirit. I draw a lot of comfort from the Romans 8 scripture that we'll read in a moment where Paul said, I'm persuaded. Yes. I'm persuaded. Because yes. He wasn't frightened to say, I have need of you, God, and I need persuading in this area. The man who had no faith said, help thou my unbelief. I can only think of it in the King James. So help, Jesus, help me in my unbelief. Yes. Help me to believe. Our lack of faith doesn't separate us from God or cause us to distance himself from us. Neither does our inadequacies or our lack of experience. Our feeling of lack of faith, our feelings of failure, of not matching up to heavenly tick lists, to addiction, all of these things can make us stop talking to him, stop listening to him, stop looking for him, stop acknowledging him, stop involving him. You know, we don't have to live a sinful life to perceive distance. We just have to get busy. Yeah. And tonight and this year, I believe God is calling us out of the busyness. And this has been a crazy month, crazy busy. I'm not talking about just, let's all just get in our hammocks and swing till Jesus comes back, although that would be really nice. But in the busyness, let's understand he's never left us, doesn't leave us, and let's draw aside and know where the streams of life are for us, where the river of life is. I come alive in that river. I don't come alive in that river anymore. I come alive in this river. Romans 8, verse 31, 39 says, "What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us, or how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Which begs the question, how can he possibly give us all things if we are separate from him? We can't be joint heirs and at the same time hopeful participants. We are joint heirs. The Greek word for joint heir is one who has already received that which is allotted to him. Already received that which is given to him. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor or your significant other or the person you're hoping could possibly be your significant other and say, "Get out of the transit lounge and get on the plane." I thought that was like a 10-word sentence. Someone's making it 50. See, too many of us are shopping in the duty-free, unaware that Savior Airlines has been calling our name over the public address for the last few years. Have you noticed how they've moved the duty-free now where you have to go into the area? You have to walk through the duty-free, like all this temptation from side to side and people spraying things on you and "You'll love this one, sir." See, why would he say, if you abide, as you abide in me and my words abide in you, if we weren't joined to him, separated from, joined to? Yes. To expand on something Leif Hetland says, you see, if you're waiting for death to do away with the feeling of separation from the Father, then Jesus isn't your Savior, death is. If you're waiting for death to do away with your separation, that feeling of separation from the Father, then Jesus isn't your Savior, death is. Verse 33, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns?" That fizzy water is terrible. "It is Christ who died." That is so bad. I hate you. "And furthermore, it is also risen, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who also makes intercession for us." What is intercession? Bridging the gap. Going in where you might not be able to go. Stopping the divide. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Beautiful. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As is written, for your sake we're killed all the day long. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded. Is anybody in here tonight persuaded? And wants to be, continue to be persuaded. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You might not get everything right all the time. You may be pig-headed and opinionated at times. You might try and camp and build a home in a dead end occasionally. But are you living your life willing to be persuaded? Because if you are, he'll draw you to him. And he does draw us to him. And he will continue to draw us to him. Ask yourself, am I willing to be persuaded? I've been known to end my day. Thank you so much. Jesus heard my cry. He's our next senior pastor. I have been known to end my day wondering what the heck was that all about. Actually, that was last night. I went to bed and I just went to sleep. What's that all about? I didn't spend the night praying. Some days I go, you know what? I can't do much while I'm going to sleep. Because his mercies are new every morning. We didn't have much entertainment, and I've used this analogy before, but I'm really happy to use it again. We didn't have much entertainment when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s on the TV. TVs were black and white. We had the first colour TV in our street, so we used to have all the kids come around. Anyway, there was a programme on there called Opportunity Knocks, which was about basically all these really, really bad talent acts used to come on every Saturday night. We'd watch them for 2 hours. They were shocking. There was a guy who used to play a saw. There were people who used to smash trays on their heads to Mozart's 40th Symphony. Things like that. And then there were plate spinners, these guys that used to put china plates on thin metal rods, spin them, and keep them going. Have you ever seen that? That was our life in the 60s and 70s. But you know, sometimes I feel that's what my life can be like. I've got everything, when I've got everything spinning and in order and all those plates spinning, I can relax and read a book. But then I notice one plate begins to wobble and I have to run over there and keep it going. I've had a great revelation over the last 3 years, and I mean this with most sincerity and most kindness, but I'm not the person that spins your plate, you are. I don't preach to spin your plate. I preach to teach and encourage and challenge you to keep your plate spinning and to be the best, to be a safe place for you to spin your plate. I don't keep you spinning. Jesus and you do. It's cooperation. I don't keep you honest. Jesus and you do. It's cooperation. I don't keep you moral. Jesus and you do. It's cooperation. And when I do that, I go to bed and sleep easily. Because I've been persuaded by the Holy Spirit that I don't keep people's worlds together. Yes. He does. Yes. And through cooperation with us, we do. Yes. Romans 8, I am persuaded. Yes. I'm not ashamed to say I need daily persuading, daily encounter, daily leaning in. Yes. When we do, we live our lives more tenderly, more willingly, we forgive more easily, and we choose to quickly cover trespass and sin. Not cover it up, but we cover it with love. And we move on when we live like that. I'm in a dilemma to open the box and do that, or to finish on time. Which was a TV show in the 60s and 70s called Pick the Box, yeah. Okay. So point two, when life gives you lemons, demand mangoes. You've seen those memes? When life gives you lemons, punch it in the face and ask for glitter. Like, what? When life gives you lemons, take them. Free stuff is cool. I saw this meme, a dad lemon talking to a son lemon. When life offers you to someone, run, because it's not going to end well for you. When life gives you lemons, find someone whose life has given them vodka and have a party. Unless life gives you sugar and water as well, your lemonade is going to suck. So life is like a lemon. You heard that here first. And I'm not going to do all of this, but if you grate this lemon, the outside, you get the zest, yeah? It's called the zest. And that's wonderful. The zest is what you put into something to bring out the best flavor. You know, we've got the joy of God in us tonight. And you know what? I want to have a zest for God. I really do. I'm not trying to stretch the metaphor. I want to have a joy for living, a joy. I want to go into my 60s, which is in a couple of years, 70s, 80s, with the joy of God, wanting to come to church, wanting to sit on the front row, not because I need to, but because I want to be up where it's at. And, you know, I don't want to be, I said this before, but I don't want to be the person who's sitting at the back, the old pastor sitting at the back going, well, bless God, let's see if they can do better. You know, when Bianca's grandchildren, Paleo and Vegana, let the tires down on my mobility scooter, I just hope I can see the funny side. Pump them back up and run over the little darlings. No.
Can hold the mic. Oh, no. Oh, so as he was, he's just about to do that. Oh, shut up. Oh.
Sorry. Dear Lord.
Can't get good help.
So we don't mind actually being the juice. Jesus, you know, press out the new wine, whatever we sing, Hillsong song. We love all that, don't we? We do. We like the thought of it, don't we? Being squeezed out for Jesus, the juice, the wine, giving our lives and so on. That's great. But occasionally we end up looking like this. But I want to ask you, is Jesus any closer to that, the top lemon or the bottom lemon? See, whether you're wrung out tonight or you're feeling full of God, he's not separate from you. He's close to you. And life can be tough, but our ongoing reaction to what life throws at us can make things tougher if we continue to react. And, you know, it's not crisis that separates us from God. It's not trauma that separates us from God. It's not disappointment, but our response to those crises can make us push God away or cause us to distance ourselves from him. But he says he understands. He says he's the intercessor. The very word means the go-between. And to what end? To keep God's wrath from destroying us? Or to cause us to understand that the love that reached out to us wasn't withdrawn when we mucked it up? Tonight there's people in here, sitting in here, that have mucked up lives, mucked up their life. Yet it might be a small thing or a big thing because we all perceive things very differently. The smallest thing to you might seem nothing to me, but could have absolutely sidetracked you and made you feel like you're separate, separated from God. The writer of Romans beautifully and skillfully handles the thought of feeling away from God. We have to determine to not let life's lemons Sarah's. You know, there's times in our life when we do not feel his presence. I hate to break it to you, and I'm not being facetious or funny when I say it. There are times you will not feel his presence. I almost feel like you don't like that. But I believe Jesus doesn't want us addicted to a feeling, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean he's gone. And, you know, most of the time I can feel his presence, but there's been times in my life I haven't. And I've had to go, God, I don't know what you're doing, what you're saying. And he said to me, go back to the last thing I told you to do, do that, and I'll speak to you. Not, I'll speak to you again, But and then it might have been a few months before he spoke again. Can you live on the word he's speaking to you as life? And say, you know what, God, I'm not going to run off and do dumb things because I haven't heard you lately. Or I'm not perceiving this or perceiving that or not feeling you. I'm not saying let's lessen our expectation of God, but a child who's fearful when he can't see his parent, is disorientated when she or he can't feel or touch their parent, is depressed when they can't hear his parent's voice continually, it's called separation anxiety. And I love hearing the voice of God. I love feeling, knowing his presence. I love all of that. We all do, and we're right to do that. But I want to tell you, if there are times when you don't, that's the time to actually put your trust in him and saying, nothing separates me from the love of God. Nothing separates me from the presence of God. I just get the band up. That'd be amazing. And there's one other form of separation anxiety in closing. Sometimes the Father in his loving wisdom asks us to leave behind things we don't want to. I knew that would get a rousing amen. Sometimes the Father requires us to separate ourselves from stuff, from drama, from people and things. It's not an exhaustive list. See, separation is healthy. You cut the umbilical cord for the baby to live. Sometimes an unhealthy relationship does need to be severed. Sometimes it's for a season, sometimes it's for life. Sometimes a yes to something is just an effective boundary of saying no. We live in a society that says, know your boundaries and say no. But actually sometimes a boundary is set by us saying yes. See, because our yes to him is a no to a lesser something else. And that is so important. Moses stretched his rod over the Red Sea. He divided it and it separated. They parted, right? And they walked through. Separation, yeah? Just bear with me till I finish. I know I've gone a bit over, but this is worth hearing. But what was so interesting was they went through on dry land. Everyone happy about that? Yes. Go through on dry land. What did they say then? He said, turn again and close it up and see your enemies. Separation from the enemy. God told him to do that. Yes. And sometimes we go, oh God, you just need to separate these things from me. And he said, no. I will work with you. Yes. Separate yourself from this. Yes. Moses burned the bridge the way back to Egypt. He closed and divided the sea. There's one last thing, and I want to speak into our church leaders. So church leaders, listen. Paul says in Acts 13, verse 2, he says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. Leaders, we are in our calling by nature as leaders, we are separated to. Not separated from church people. Now, again, I'm using a horrible term, but we're separated to. That doesn't make us better than, but we have to understand that leadership requires a separation. It means aphoretzo, to mark off from others by boundaries, to limit and to separate. You see, this is very clear. We used to get letters in England when I used to live there, and it would say, on Her Majesty's service. And it meant that had come from the government department, and it was at the request of the king or the queen. And as leaders, we need to understand that leadership is not an exclusive church club, but rather an invitation to serve the church at the request of His Majesty. And that's what we're separated to do the work of the ministry and to be servants in this house. Just stand to our feet, that would be amazing. There's a time when you're at the airport and the flight closes. And they've been calling the name. And they go, basically, have you ever heard them where they get their voices getting more and more high-pitched? Would Mr. Robert Porter please board at gate 2? Your flight is closing and they're waiting to depart. Would Mr.? Right, and it gets higher and higher. There's a time when the flight closes. Jesus has issued the tickets. The airport isn't the final destination. The plane isn't. It's a vehicle to get us where we need to go. We are of all men most hopeful. Jesus' separation from His Father by the separation of that sin, all the sins of the world were put upon Him, separated Him from His Father. My Father, why have You forsaken Me? My God, why have You forsaken Me? He perceived separation. He went through that so that we don't have to. And I was unsure, but I feel sure now. There's a scripture, there's a few scriptures, but it talks about Jesus said, there's coming a time when I will separate out the sheep from the goats. And I understand that can sound heavy, but the truth is Jesus is calling your name tonight and He's saying, hey, come on board. Don't mess around in the duty free. Don't go and buy another lolly or a newspaper or whatever. Get on board. Get on board with what He's doing. And if you know Jesus tonight, you're a sheep. You're one of His sheep. You know His voice. If you don't know Jesus tonight, you know, we need to understand that these are serious times. The Bible is very clear about that sin separates. But it's also very clear about there's a way laid out in just so plain black and white in the light that Jesus caused that separation to be gone, and He built a bridge, bridged the gap, bridged the divide so that we could have life. Amen. And so as we worship tonight again, if you're in this house and you don't know Jesus, you really know that you don't have that relationship with Him, with the Father, and some things have just been resonating with you and you want to leave your life, you want to get out of that dirty river into the river of life, then tonight's your night. And I'm just going to ask everyone to bow their heads. And every person with their eyes closed and heads bowed, if you would like to know Jesus as your Savior, as the life giver, the one that frees you from sin, if you could just raise your hand, that would be amazing. I'll be honest with you, I don't act. I can't see whether you raised your hand because of the smoke. So I'm going to have to ask you to come forward. We're going to worship together. We'll sing something. And as we do, if you feel free to come forward. What's drawing you tonight is Jesus Himself. If your heart is going faster, if you're going feeling that now or never, respond to that. Respond to that. Because Jesus is in this place to meet with you and to love on you and to bring you into life. Amen. So let's worship together, and you feel free to come forward. If you want prayer tonight as well, we'd love to pray with you. If you've been feeling separated from God, This is not a night to be shy, because this is our third year and God said he's going to blow the lid off. And that means we have to be ready for whatever that means. Ready, as Gwen was preaching this morning, to do his service. Amen. We're going to worship together. Thank you so much, church.